League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham at 3:03 on a Tuesday. He's Brian behind the glass. It's Taco Tuesday edition. The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You in a good mood, Blankers?
I'm all right.
What's wrong? What's troubling you?
Oh, got all kinds of delivery problems.
You look like you're ready to check into the Rockets game. You're wearing top and bottom.
Don't hate the gear.
I'm not hating it. I didn't say it was bad. It looks like you're ready to check in. Okay, can you get some minutes tonight?
Yeah. I was wondering how difficult they had a time getting there with all the storms.
Yeah. I saw Matt was in his hotel. So I think they're okay.
One of the scariest flights I've ever been on we were trying to get out of D.C. and there was a massive snowstorm. Mm-hmm. And they told us we were grounded. And then all of a sudden they go, no, we're going to try it. Mm-hmm. And it was unbelievably scary going up.
I'm glad you made it.
Thanks.
Yeah. You made it. Yeah. The scariest flight that I was ever on, you ever seen those little static discharge sticks that are attached to the wing? Like there's like five of them on each wing. Yeah. I didn't realize that they sometimes blow up. Like it's not a huge explosion, but it's like a little bit of a static discharge, so it like sparks. And I was on a rocky flight to LaGuardia, and I was right there, like at the window over the wing, and I saw one of the little static discharges. I was like, that's not good. And then I asked a pilot that I knew, and he's like, oh yeah, that happens all the time. It's like, oh, good to
that
know.
That would not be a good visual, because the flight we were on, literally players were screaming and praying.
That's awful.
And my boss was next to me praying. It was not fun.
Yeah, those turbulence. That's one of those things that no matter how much you fly, you never get used to.
No way.
You never get used to turbulence. I mean,
the crazy thing is when you see like 7-footers that are big, you know, athletes that are just losing their bleeping minds, scared that we are going down.
I've seen a lot of soft 7-footers.
R.I.P. Dikembe Mutombo. Not one of them.
Yeah, he's not softy.
No.
Not Dikembe.
For him to be worried, we were like, oh, boy.
I'm in a good mood. Cougars won yesterday.
I watched them.
3-0 in Big 12 play. Good for you. What'd you think?
That's an impressive team. Look, the defense is always their calling card, but the way they're shooting the three ball right now, and Sharp was just that. He shot the ball very well, but I was just very impressed with the fact that not only on the defensive end, but the way that they attack, they can take a game that even when TCU made a run and got it to single digits, you snap your fingers, you blink your eyes, you look, and they're up 15-20 again. It's fun to watch.
I think it's one of the underrated things about them this year. Not many people realize that they're shooting 42% from three, leading the Big 12. It's like, oh, okay. I didn't realize they were doing that. A lot of people, BYU's coach, didn't realize that they were doing that. Houston Texans, they won 10 games this year, 10-7 now on the season. And I saw this conversation going on over the weekend, quite frankly, because at the start of the year, if the Texans went 10-7 and won the AFC South, I feel like people would have been pretty pleased. Like, if you remove the context, right? Like, you know, you're in that plane, let's say things would have went bad and you were in a coma for the NFL season. If the first thing you do whenever you wake up from the coma is like, hey, how'd the Texans do? AFC South champions 10-7. I think you'd be like, oh, that's good, considering their strength of schedule, like talking about how difficult this season's going to be with the first-place schedule as opposed to last year with a fourth-place schedule. If you remove the context of the season, I think people would be happy with the result of 10-7 back-to-back AFC South champion. But when you look at the actual context of the regular season, it kind of makes things murky. It's like, was this a step in the right direction? Was this a step forward? Is this positive momentum? Are we going the right way? Or did we regress? Mm-hmm. Is CJ Stroud going the right way? Or is Bryce Young passing him up? So it's kind of interesting when you look at the context and remove the overall just record of the year. So when you look at this regular season, we have to eliminate postseason from this conversation. And quite frankly, we do realize and understand that the postseason's going to change the calculus of how we view the 2024 Houston Texans. But if we look at just the regular season, do you think that this has been a step forward for the Houston Texans?
I think that a lot of people are quick to forget where this team was 2 years ago and how quickly they turned it around to do what they did a year ago when people had written this team off as a 4-5 win team, that there was no chance for them to do something like this. So the curse of that is the blessing and the curse. The blessing had happened. The curse is the next year the expectations are you do better. And you did do a lot in the offseason to where we were all encouraged they could do better. But we were realistic enough to know the schedule was tougher. And I think that I still think they're going in the right direction because I think with a first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator, rookie quarterback on his second year, at a certain point, there were going to be bumps in the road. They were going to have to learn some lessons along the way and take some lumps because of the fact that there was some inexperience on all three fronts. And I think that that's a lot of what we saw this year because you're right. The window dressing is, as a big picture, it's a successful season. You won the division and you got double-digit wins. From a game-by-game and play-by-play perspective, when we dissect it like we do, it's a different story because of the ones that got away or the ones that you should have won that you didn't, and the mistakes when they did happen and how they affected games and outcomes. I think that that's where you might look at it differently.
Okay, so you think it's a step forward?
I think it's a step forward.
From 2024-2025, going into next season, and again, removing the playoffs for the sake of the conversation out of this, step forward. And maybe we can even say that they get eliminated from the divisional round like they did last year. So it's like the same exact result when you look at only record and only where you were eliminated from the postseason. I don't have the same feeling. Okay. And maybe we had a caller yesterday say that I'm too negative on the Houston Texans. I don't think that I'm negative. I think I'm a realist. I think that I'm a realist when it comes to a lot of things. I feel like they went backwards. Like, you look at them offensively specifically, and this is probably where they've went backwards the most. You could even make an argument that they went forward defensively, but I don't think that they went forward defensively greater than they went backward offensively. I think it's the inverse. I think they went backward offensively greater than they went forward defensively. And look, we're talking about C.J. Stroud, and maybe we were, dumb to do this, but I feel like this was going on nationally too. We weren't the only ones. We didn't get this local bias and like, oh yeah, CJ Stroud, top five quarterback. Like, this was a national conversation. You looked at quarterback ranking, CJ Stroud was anywhere from top five to top seven, and a lot of times top five. Was very much a guy who was a popular bet to be the MVP. I do a lot of best ball drafts. C.J. Stroud was being drafted way too high. C.J. Stroud, of all quarterbacks in the NFL, was the biggest fantasy football quarterback bust that there was. He was being drafted like three rounds ahead of Joe Burrow. Like, he was being drafted closer to Lamar Jackson than he was Joe Burrow. So his sophomore season, not that I'm like diminishing the talent and saying that I don't believe in him going forward, but the results in the production of C.J. Stroud went way back to now whenever we're talking about the offseason and going into year three, we're wondering what it's going to look like. Like, if C.J. Stroud had the same season as his rookie year, we're still uber confident about the direction going forward. But now, because the lack of production wasn't great in year two, we have so many questions. Can Stroud be a top five quarterback? Can Bobby Slowick be a good play caller in the NFL? Will he be around? What changes do you need to make to the offensive line? What about the skill guys? So I feel that there's so many more questions offensively in year two than after year one of C.J. Stroud, that to me, I feel like it was a step backwards.
I can see that point of view. I don't feel that way simply because you just kind of mentioned it. Everything was so predicated on the poor play of the offensive line that it kind of sent CJ into that mindset of, the shorter time clock in his head and rushed on a lot of things. And it kind of threw off kilter the entire offense. I also think that maybe this was a learning curve for all involved, but as it relates to CJ in the fact that, hey, this isn't easy street. After my first year in the NFL, doing all the podcasts and doing all the, away from football things to kind of just, it almost felt like he was starting to believe the hype mode, that maybe this makes him dial back in even more to get back down to, to true honing his craft. Because I personally I haven't lost confidence in CJ's ability to play the position. I think if they shore up the offensive line in the offseason, I think CJ is going to be just fine. But I understand there are a lot of people that are pointing fingers now and questioning a whole lot that they weren't questioning a year ago.
Yeah, I think those are two different conversations, though. Because, like, I also have the belief that CJ Stroud's going to fit. I think he's going to be a top five quarterback at some point in his NFL career. I thought it was going to be this year, and I wasn't right. And for a variety of reasons. Stroud maybe didn't play as well as he played his rookie year. The offensive line didn't protect. Slowik didn't have as good a year as a play caller. The skill position guys got hurt. Like, a variety of different reasons. The schedule was more difficult than it was a year ago. Do I think that that factors into the overall production of the offense in CJ Stroud? Of course it would. If you have a quarterback that's playing an 0-17 team 17 times and playing a 17-0 team 17 times, the numbers are going to look drastically different. But yeah, that's why I think they took a step backwards. Where do you land on this, Brian?
I do think they took a step backwards. I mean, the defense, though, I mean, it's kind of what you laid out, Jeremy, where I think the defense was better than they were a year ago, but the offense took such a major step back that it kind of overshadows the gains that you made on defense with Stingley playing a full year, obviously getting a great rookie year out of Cam Bullock and some of the other additions they made on the defense. You plotting that I pronounced it correctly?
More
welcome.
People are catching on. Have you noticed that?
More people
are catching on. We've started a trend. I am a maverick.
But, look, obviously a lot of excuses will be made because of the offensive line, but we've seen CJ, even when he had time, and maybe it's because he's gun-shy because of the protection issues, but he's missing throws. The interceptions went way up. The yards per game went way down. And overall, like, even if you want to say the offensive regression was equal to the offensive progression, I don't believe in a team being able to actually stay neutral. There's no such thing as neutral to me in the NFL. Like, if you're staying even, you're actually falling behind. Teams like the Chargers are better than they were a year ago. The Broncos are on the way up. These teams that were behind you, even if you're staying the same, the teams behind you are gaining, and they're eventually going to pass you. So I would say overall it was a step back.
Because if you're standing still, you're not doing what? You're not moving
forward.
You're not going forward. 713-780-ESPN. Texans 10-7, AFC South champions, back-to-back years. Looking at just the regular season, was this a step forward for the Texans? 713-780-3776. We'll have an honest conversation about CJ Stroud a little bit later. It's a Tuesday. We'll cash your trash things. Didn't get to the Reggie Jackson out of touch thing yesterday. We'll get to it today. Bobby Slowik, where do you stand with him? Tons. I also need your help today, by the way. I need some advice from the Hive, which is always very dangerous to do because you're going to get the whole gambit, right? You're going to get all sorts of advice. But I'll throw it out there a little bit later. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter as well at ESPN 975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sacked by BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham. Was this season a step forward? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Raiders fired Antonio Pierce. Didn't mention that at the start of the show. Happened right before we went on the air. That old Mark Davis sure likes to go through coaches, doesn't he?
Got great hair.
And he always seems to get it wrong. Like, Bisacci was there. Everybody wanted to keep him, gets rid of him. Brings in McDaniels, who is a disaster. Antonio Pierce, the interim, I think he was trying to learn from the Bisacci mistake. Keeps him. They're a disaster.
Well, at least he gets GMs right, like Mike Mayock.
Now he's got Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to lead the search.
I was going to say, you just got to hope that at least Brady gets in there to give him some kind of guidance so that they don't. I mean, and I don't really care if they keep screwing up, but yeah, I mean, based on his track record, there's a lot of owners that need a lot more guidance than they're not willing to accept or they just aren't smart enough to bring in. But yeah, you would hope Brady has some say in that and some other football people, because I think Pierce won the locker room at the end of last year. He won it back. And I think that was the big calling card when you get Crosby and Devontae and the bigger players in the locker room saying, this is our guy. But at a certain point, there's a whole lot going on as a head coach that if you've never done it before, you can get underwater quickly, and I think that's what happened.
It's going to be fun to see what Brady does there. Like, who does Brady hire? Like, it's going to be interesting to see who does the Tom Brady hire as his first head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders.
I'm curious, and Brian and I were talking about this before the show, but I'm curious the walk-away packages for Mayo and for Mayo to be coach in waiting. And I couldn't find how many years he got. They were, Lance and I were talking about it too. Like, we estimated like 3.5 to 4 was what the new coach going rate was. But there's a buyout, I believe, in Mayo's for 10. But Pierce, as a first-time coach with even not coach in waiting status, I wonder, like Cully. I mean,
I don't know.
I know Analytics has those things out there.
I'm pretty I really don't care about the buyout too much. Maybe I'm in the minority there, but I just know it's a lot of money.
And like, I would just think that's a hell of a deal. Of money. I mean, you're going to give me $10 million to walk away. Cool.
I agree. I'd be that's the best job in sports. Fired football coaches. They make tons of money. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Looking at just the Texans' regular season, was this a season that went forward? Was it a step in the right direction? Ryan on Twitch, I called 10-7 at the beginning of the year, and this 10-7 feels a lot worse than what I was hoping for. That's where I'm at. Like, I also called 10-7. I called 10-7, divisional round exit, but I don't feel good about it. You called 9-8, but then you counted up to 10 wins. Yeah. So, like, Brian was at 15, 16 wins. I can't remember where
11,
he landed at.
Settle down.
So, like, the context of the year is weird. Terrence on Twitch, think it's a stalemate. Things they got away with last season were exposed. See, I don't know about that. Like, what did they get away with last season? Maybe some C.J. Stroud. Like, there were times that Stroud threw the ball up in the air that should have been intercepted, and they were not. And everybody was like, oh, look at Stroud protecting the football. This year it's probably went the other way. It's probably evened out where there's been probably more interceptions than he probably should have. But he's in the top 10 in the league in interceptions.
Yeah. I think, and, you know, it's the follow-up conversation. Is there anything, you know, is there a road to salvaging the season through the playoffs? Because in most sports, you're going to be defined no matter how good you are in the regular season. Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at, you know, the year the Warriors set the all-time record for regular season wins and then didn't win the title. Like, is there a path to saying that if they get back to the divisional round, have we survived it? Is it not a failure?
I don't think so.
No?
Like, it depends on the context. But if you scrape by the Chargers and you win 23-20, and then you go to Kansas City and they beat the brakes off of you, no.
But I think that if you're, you know, everybody and their mother's picking against the Texans, if you win 23-20, at least you've won. And then that's the key. If you played the Chiefs like you played the last time and you have a puncher's chance in the second half, then I think that there's going to be a lot of people that say, hey, all things considered, the injuries and the schedule and everything else, I could see them, and I personally would say, okay, you know what? They did enough for me to stay competitive against the Chiefs after and got to the divisional round again to where I can say it wasn't a failure.
No one said a failure, for the
record.
They
could still be disappointed.
We said step backwards.
No, I get it.
I mean, I think that's pretty drastic. It's why I'm nitpicking that. And like, I do agree with you that the playoffs unproportionately give us a different taste of what the team actually was. Because, like, okay, we're not happy with the regular season right now. Stroud, not great. Slowick, step back. A lot of people want him fired. If the Texans, like, beat the Chargers 23-20, they go into Arrowhead, and let's just say they get really lucky. Like, really, really lucky. And then they lose in the AFC Championship. It was like, oh, AFC Championship, what a great year. Where in reality, it was a step backwards the whole season, and they got luck-boxed in the divisional round.
But I think everybody would be all in on a successful season.
I agree. That's why I said it's unproportionately measures a team season.
But it's also the way sports normally goes.
I know, I said that.
Yeah, and it's I think you have to be realistic about the fact that you can't go into the offseason, no matter what you do in the playoffs, thinking that this team is a well-oiled machine that's tuned up, ready to take another step next year until some significant things happen, and it starts with the offensive line.
Yeah. I had a thought about that offensive line. I'm going to save that thought for tomorrow, though, because it's a funny thought. A texter says, funny if Brady hires Bill Belichick. It would be hilarious, and I'd be here for it because it's high drama. But the way that North Carolina structured Belichick's contract, he can't get hired until next cycle.
Like, is that right?
The buyout's crazy in year one, but then after next season, it drops to like $1 million.
Did you see McAfee tried to ask him about the Patriots situation?
Yeah.
And he basically was like, that wasn't my hire. That was Robert Kraft's hire. I had nothing to do with it. And
love
just
it.
High-roaded it.
I love it.
And his son's already recruiting with him. So he left Washington immediately and got to Carolina as quick as he could.
Yeah, I mean, it's normal, though.
Well, he's coach and waiting from what I believe the contract
said. Yeah, and that's normal. Like, it's normal for coaches to immediately leave their post to go to their next post.
If they've got an offer.
Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of times they'll leave the team that still has a bowl game to play high and dry. So, like, that's not I mean, that's, I mean, maybe all of it's nefarious, but that's not nefarious to what we've come to know in college football. Keith texting in, hey, this is Keith from yesterday. All capital letters, by the way. I see y'all drinking my Kool-Aid. Love the positive thought. Keith, lay off the caps,
slow
man.
Down.
Lay off the caps a little bit. And I think he sent that text before I gave my answer, because I don't think that I was positive about the whole ordeal.
No, I mean, look, I know that the city right now is all fired up and they're looking for all the glimmers of hope that they can get. And obviously the national media is not going to give it to you, because from Rex Ryan saying it's a bye to most everybody that's making a pick on the game, saying that it's a Chargers should be a fairly easy win. You have to be realistic about the fact that this team beat the Titans in the last game of the regular season. Other than that, they got their doors blown off by the Ravens. They haven't looked good in the final stretch of the season. And there's a lot to fix in a short period of time to where it's tough to feel good if you're being realistic and not looking at this team with blue glasses on.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. More from the Hive. Texans don't make the playoffs in any other division.
South?
Maybe one. Maybe they make it in the NFC South, but the point stands. If the Texans were in an average division, they're not a playoff team. I think it's a fair point.
NFC West, I'd probably throw in there, too. The Rams weren't a good team.
You think they're better than the Rams?
The Rams aren't a good team.
I think they're better than the Rams.
You didn't answer the question.
Because
do you think the Texans are a good team?
I think they're as good as the Rams, if not a little bit better, factoring in the injuries of the Rams. And like, if the Rams had been healthy all year, I'd pick the Rams, but they weren't.
But then what if the Texans were the Texans were healthy all year too?
Okay.
I'm just saying, does that change your opinion, or is it still the Rams are better than the Texans?
I'm just talking about what actually happened this year. The Rams were missing Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp for like 5-6 games apiece. To me, that makes the Texans better than they were this year. I would have picked the Texans come out of that division.
You played a significant amount of your games without Mixon and without Diggs.
But he's arguing for the Texans, Joel.
I know. I don't know what that point makes.
Okay. I think no matter what, I think the Texans
that
are
would
better
make
the,
my
Rams.
Case even stronger for the Texans. That doesn't change my mind.
I think they're at the same level. I think the Rams and the Texans are peers. I think they're the same.
Like, they could win that division.
Maybe
they're equal.
I think you whiteboarded it and said, well, Stafford's a better quarterback right now than C.J. Stroud, but the Texans' defense is better than the Rams' defense. The Rams' offensive line is probably better than the Texans. Skill position players, Texans?
I'd probably go
healthy, I would say Rams with Puka and Kyren. They're better than...
Maybe Puka and Nico are a wash.
I guess you could say Kyren and Mixon are a wash.
Yeah.
It's pretty
That's
even.
Tough, though.
It's pretty even.
I lean is Kyren it, there.
Does Dalton Schultz
I'd rather
push
have
you over the
Kyren,
top?
But...
No.
Not really.
The Rams have nothing at tight end, so that doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Well, if you're saying the rest are kind of washes.
Who do they play? Higbee a lot?
Yeah.
I think Higbee and Schultz are pretty equal.
Is Higbee even playing? I thought he was hurt.
No, I think he's the guy they've been using.
I thought he had torn his ACL the year before and wasn't playing. But
Maybe I'm confusing him with somebody else. You're right, though. They don't use a whole lot of tight end. No, it's Higbee again. Higbee's back. He's a wash with Schultz. Schultz is not very good.
No,
like, Schultz
not.
A guy is a jag.
No, I know, but so is Higbee.
No, you're right.
Point.
I'm saying a wash. I think they're on the same level. I really do. I think that they're equal teams. But to Brian's point, maybe they win the NFC West. So there's three divisions. But that's not an average division. Like, do the Texans win an average division? I would argue that they do not.
Not the way they've looked in the last four or five games of the regular season. I would say it's hard for me to believe that they could win the majority of the divisions, yes.
Texter, all in all, it's a wash from last year.
I think to be washed from last year, they've got to get to the next round.
Yeah, but if we're eliminating the playoffs from the conversation.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's a wash from last year. I feel way better last year entering the playoffs than I do today. And maybe it's because of expectation. Like, didn't really expect the Texans to be in the playoffs. It's a young team, young quarterback, first-year head coach. Versus this year, you expect them to be there. They get there, but it feels like they limped there. And then also Stroud, you don't feel as great about him today as you did at the end of the last year. Maybe even DeMeco in that conversation. So I think the expectation is why I feel like it's not a wash. But if I eliminate expectation, maybe it is a wash.
I think it has everything to do with the fact that you were playing with house money a year ago. You weren't supposed to be in this position, according to most. And the fact that they overachieved by winning the division a year ago, they won their last game when they had to win to get in, so you got even more momentum there. Then you won a playoff game, and it was like, oh, my God. This season is awesome. And I think that because of that, the bar was raised probably too high by most going into this season. And then when you saw the offseason, you're like, there's no reason not to, for a lot of people to start thinking Super Bowl and AFC Championship game and all these other things. And we were the ones looking at the schedule already and looking at everything going, hey, look, this isn't going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah.
And then the way they finished, it changed everybody's mind to going, yeah, you beat the Titans, but other than that, you got beat pretty regularly, and now you're expected to win a game.
I'm going
to
nitpick a little bit. I'm not sure many people thought Super Bowl.
Oh, there were people this year Super talking Bowl? About Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, and AFC champions. Oh, yeah, and I mean, look.
No, I'm not. I didn't say AFC champions. Don't throw that into the conversation. I'm talking specifically Super Bowl.
There were people that were talking about whether, maybe not win the Super Bowl, that they could get to the Super Bowl.
I don't know, man. Okay. I don't remember that. AFC Championship, I'm with you. I heard that quite a bit. Like, Dark Horse AFC Championship team. I don't know if I heard or saw many people predicting them in the Super Bowl.
Not, like, experts, per se. More so the fan base.
Guys at the gym.
Oh, no, not the guys at the gym.
713-780-ESPN. Cody, what's scary is this offense looked way more smooth when Mills came into the Titans game. I don't agree with that. It was the Titans. Stroud was 6-for-6 on the opening drive.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean,
yeah. How could you look more smooth than 6-for-6?
Yeah, like, I mean, they were choppy a bit when they got to the goal line and didn't know how to check in on an eligible offensive lineman. That was embarrassing.
Anybody that's realistic about Davis Mills giving them a better chance is probably some of the people
we're
that
still
thought
having
that,
Davis Mills I conversations. Can't either.
Maybe those were the people that also thought the Texans were Super Bowl bound.
Maybe they're trolls and they're just pulling one on us, which is likely. Bottom line is they did not improve from last year, so to me that's a disappointing year. Another texter, Colt fan, enjoy it now. Colts are coming back next year! ! You sound like that guy, Colt. Fan. Are you that guy, Colt fan? You make that nay noise like that.
How you can high, look at the Colts with pitch. Any optimism?
Seriously, like there, you look at the one thing. The same people that are betting against the Texans are saying the Texans better buckle up and enjoy the next 5 years because they should have a cakewalk in their division because of just how catastrophic the rest of the teams look right now.
I mean, yeah, the Colts, I mean, their ownership's still a disaster. You don't think you probably have your quarterback. Your running back's great, but he's a running back. Who knows when that expires? Your defense is trashed.
Like, also, don't sleep on the fact that from what you're hearing from multiple sources is that internally it is a complete bleep show.
Yeah.
The players crapping all over each other.
Pat McAfee.
And everybody talking about how, you know, from late to meetings to just all kinds of screw-ups in the locker room and just missteps, you're like, there's a whole lot to change there.
Bad culture. Should be. That's why. Yeah. I mean, this is their fan of the year. Like, if that guy's your fan of the year, you have zero chance to be good. Texans going to the Super Bowl this year. Have some faith. There you go. There's that positivity we're looking for. 409 Josh, there were national people that picked Texans to go to the Super Bowl, weren't there? I need to see receipts on that. I don't remember that. If they would have beaten the Jets, that changes a lot of things, in my opinion. That's where they started to fall, to be honest.
They're not wrong. I think, and I don't know how national, like, I don't know if it was like a TV type or if it was some of the people previewing the season, but I think there were a few that had the Texans getting to the Super Bowl.
I need receipts. If it's such a sorry division, why before CJ and Coach Ryan, they didn't stand a chance? Well, their roster was also awful then. You sound absolutely ridiculous. We don't care how you feel, but you're listening. Evidently, you are a delusional hater with a poor O-line, receivers hurt, and still won the division. CJ and Coach not going nowhere. Get over it, hillbilly. Which one of us is the hillbilly, you think? Probably you.
Okay.
Like, is hillbilly more of a Wisconsin thing? Can you be a hillbilly in Wisconsin, or is that reserved for the South?
I think that's reserved for South.
Yeah, I don't think that's a Wisconsin thing.
Okay. All right.
I take that back. You could be a hillbilly in West Virginia for sure.
Yeah, like you had Kentucky. Larry Bird was the hick from French Lick.
Yeah.
That's up in the Midwest.
Yeah. I don't know if it goes all the way to Wisconsin.
More so than Wisconsin up on the
Midwest. I think you could be a hillbilly up there. Can you be a hillbilly up there? 713-780.
I don't know, man. You're from Milwaukee, so I don't know if I can take your opinion seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Ryan.
That's well played.
We're bringing up Wisconsin.
Can you be a hillbilly up in the north? All right, let's have that honest conversation about C.J. Stroud. Let's have the honest conversation about Stroud in year two. How would you assess Stroud in his second full regular season in the bigs? 713-780-3776. It's the Bs on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Todd, the show delivers. July 24, Bill Barnwell, trendy Super Bowl picks, Packers, Lions, Texans, oh my. Stand corrected. Stand corrected. You might have been the only idiot that did it,
though. I think there were a few others. I'm looking for them.
I bet you Bill Barnwell did not pick the Texans to win it, to get to the Super Bowl, though.
He also picked, what, four teams as a Super Bowl team?
Well, only three. I mean, 1, 2, 3, Packers, Lions, Texans. From the AFC, to be fair. But I bet you if you find Bill Barnwell's 2024 prediction, do that next, Todd, since you're our crack researcher. You're our stat boy. Find Bill Barnwell's 2024 predictions, because I bet you that was a little bit of clickbait. I bet you it was a little clickbait. I bet you he did not predict the Texans to win the AFC. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that.
Someone at Sports Illustrated did as well.
Who's that?
I'm looking it up. The writer that wrote the article is
Ben Ryder.
Hannah Hoover, but she said ESPN preseason predictions. One of our experts picks Texans in Super Bowl.
Who is Hannah Hoover?
She writes for Sports Illustrated.
Is it Hannah McNair's alias?
She writes for Sports. She covers. It looks like she might cover the Texans for SI.com.
I've never heard of her.
Okay.
Never heard of Hannah Hoover.
I'm not making it up.
And Sports Illustrated also doesn't distribute it anymore, which is sad. It's pretty sad. Some textures about the hillbilly deal. Hillbillies can be found in Canada, too. Another one, South doesn't use the term hillbilly. We are rednecks. Hillbilly is a northern redneck. Did you ever watch Beverly Hillbillies whenever you were growing up?
I wasn't a fan, but I've seen it.
Well, yeah, I think I watched a couple episodes. I was really young, didn't like it. All right, CJ Stroud, 713-780-ESPN. Stroud, second season. Let's have the honest conversation about this. King of Twitch, he was naysaying Stroud whenever everybody else was talking positively about him. King of Twitch, he likes to take the road less traveled. Wonder who said Stroud would take a step back this year and have a slump. That was King of Twitch said that. King of Twitch, he, blind squirrel nut thing. Having the honest conversation about CJ Stroud in year two, what would be some things that stand out to you?
Well, I think that it's obvious that he was under duress the majority of the season, and that altered and changed a lot in terms of his internal clock and the results that you saw because of it. I just think that we were complimenting his poise in the pocket the year before, and he was under a lot of similar circumstances. And yet this year it got a whole lot worse, and the line got worse, and because of it, he got worse. And I think that he looked a lot of times rushed. He threw the ball like he was rushed. And I think that's where I would start, is the fact that the internal clock threw him his entire game off.
Yeah, see, I still think he has the talent. He just did not play up to his talent very much. Almost not at all. Like, I don't think that CJ Stroud once had like a full complete game. Like last year he had a few of them. And he had some duds last year too as a rookie. Let's not forget. Like, he had a dud against Carolina. He had a dud against the Jets, although he might have been concussed in that game, and I think that he was. He had a dud against Atlanta. Like, he had duds throughout the year. But this year what he did in his rookie year at times was he played at this extremely high level, and we didn't really see that a whole lot in year two. Year one, he led the NFL in passing yards per game. This year, he's not in the top 10. So, like, his numbers definitely regressed. If you feel like he didn't regress as a player, I'll listen to that conversation. But there's no argument that his numbers went backwards. And I agree. I think that he very quickly into the year did not trust his offensive line, and I think that made him a half beat too slow. His progressions, he was coming off of maybe a little bit too quick. He got happy-footed a little bit too much. I remember early in the year, might have even been preseason, where Stroud was like, yeah, Joe Mixon challenged me to be more aggressive in my scrambling and running the football. I was like, I don't like that, actually. I don't like the notion of that. So that's where I stand with the whole Stroud and having the honest conversation about him in year two. I do think that he went backwards in the sense of his production, and then also relative to where he's at in the NFL. Because I think there are quarterbacks now that you can just put head-to-head against C.J. Stroud, who do you want for the next 5 years, that we would not have even been daring to do that at the start of the year.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at it, it's fair to say that if he learns from this, that he can still progress forward. I still believe in his talents. I still believe he is the franchise quarterback for now and for the future. But I think along the way, he learned a lot of lessons, and I think that clock did get sped up way too much, and I think that it did affect him in a lot of ways. And there was a lot of discussion about, please don't turn this into the next David Carr, where the PTSD is so real that he never recovers from it. But I think that he still has all the ability in the world, and I think that you can learn from this to still progress and be a better quarterback coming out of this, and I still believe that he is the guy to lead this team going forward.
I do too. I'm still fine about the like the overall where Stroud's going in his career, but he slumped this year. Like this texture, there's always sophomore slumps. We didn't there'd be one here. We didn't think there'd be one here. If we look strictly at wins and losses, it's the record we were expecting. That is true, but win loss doesn't always tell the full story.
I think I've said this throughout the year. The numbers aren't going to equal up to last year. They're just not, from the interceptions and the yards and the completion, all of it. So if that's your basis for saying he had a sophomore slump or he regressed, there's no argument. It's fact.
Mm-hmm. What did you find on Barnwell, Brian?
It's pretty hysterical because I'm interested to know when that other article came out where he listed the Texans as a sexy Super Bowl pick, because in his official picks on September 4th, he didn't even pick them to make the playoffs.
He didn't pick them to make the playoffs?
Not
he wrote a headline
it.
That the Texans are a dark horse to win the Super Bowl?
Didn't even
go to and he didn't even pick them to make the playoffs?
Nope. Had the playoffs? Jaguars winning the division, Texans missing, his Super Bowl pick was Chiefs over Packers.
That's insane. That's clickbait 101.
That's so clickbait.
I kind of respect it as a someone who farms engagement.
Just
I kind
throw the crap out there to get clicks.
He's talking to Bill Barnwell. He's not talking to me.
Yeah, he's talking to Barnwell.
Renato's talking to Barnwell. He's just throwing out there for clicks. Because Barnwell actually gets clicks because he's a writer for ESPN.com and you have to click. There's nothing, but nobody clicks my stuff. Nobody's clicking my stuff. You ever click anything that I post? No, you just see it. You see it. And maybe you engage a little bit.
Sometimes if you put a video out there or whatever, I'll click on it.
What? It just starts by itself.
I mean, I'll click on it to see if you maybe see the responses.
So you're clicking the comments is what you're clicking.
Because a lot
you're
not of times even clicking like for the, me. You like to fire up the audience. I want to see how they react.
I just like to have good conversation from both sides of the crowd. All right, 713-780-ESP. Let's have this honest conversation about Stroud. A lot of people want to react to this. Also, let's compare some of the young quarterbacks in the league versus C.J. Stroud. Because, like, Bo Nix versus Stroud, we wouldn't have had that conversation at the start of the year. Are we having it now? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Honest conversation about Stroud. Thoughts on him year two. Texter, what if the CJ that you get from now on is a blend of the two seasons? If you look at his draft report, you saw those flaws on display this year. So if he's a blend of two seasons, he's probably a top 10 quarterback, but not a top 5 quarterback. Fair to say if you're talking about
That's
the blend?
Fair.
So are you good with that going forward? Top 10 quarterback?
I think Dak. If he's a blend, no. I think Dak-ish.
So. Okay, I think he's a cusp of a top 10 quarterback. Right. I think it's a good, like, not to say that their traits are the same,
no,
but their stature in the league.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
I mean, because this was Lance's comparison to him pre-draft. What if he's Jared Goff? Someone you never view as, like, put the team on his back, he's top 5, but has seasons where he plays really well and is obviously capable of being the quarterback for a team that goes deep into the playoffs.
See, I would take Goff, I wouldn't take Dak.
I would take Goff as well.
I think I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been there a couple of years ago, but Goff has been really impressive in the last couple of years in Detroit.
But it does change your team build. Like, it changes what Nick Caseria has to do. Because if he's Goff, you're not winning like Josh Allen wins. Like, you're not going to put a bunch of, you know, I'm not that Josh Allen has a bunch of bums around him, but the offense clicks because of Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson obviously has really good players, especially now with the addition of Derrick Henry, but the offense clicks because of Lamar Jackson. Jared Goff isn't going to lead the 11 dwarfs. You know what I mean? They're 10 dwarfs, and he's the 11th.
Sure.
Like, you have to build a really good roster around him, which... Yes, the Texans did that with the skill, but you thought you could deal with the offensive line. Like, I'm not blaming Caseria for the roster build. It's just the offensive line didn't live up to what it needed to be if he is Goff, which might be from not, apples to apples comparison of their playing style, just their stature of where they are in the NFL. I think it's solid. I think it's fine. Another texture, I was impressed with CJ's ability to read defenses at such an early age and throw with anticipation, but something happened this season. He's not able to settle. Hope he gets it back. That's the thing where you can really look at. Like, you saw some of these anticipation throws last year. Unbelievable. This year, they're almost all gone. Like, they're very, very, like, rare.
Yeah, and when they are, he's rushed, and he's trying to throw to an area that, he's... Maybe instead of a beat ahead of the receiver breaking, the right way, he's a beat and a half, and so the ball is off. There were things I was extremely I was uncertain about his ability to make throws in the NFL to be a really good quarterback when he came in. We've talked about the fact that I was extremely impressed with his ability to put touch on the football, make the difficult throws. I still think he can do all of those things, but I think this is all directly related to just how much off-kilter his entire year was dictated by the pressure and his line.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, Lamont on Twitter. What really made C.J. Stroud look so bad this year is that Bryce Young's second half of the season actually looked competent. Doesn't help. Doesn't help matters that you can make the argument that Bryce Young in the last six games outplayed C.J. Stroud. Statistically, he did. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jacob, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Jacob?
Yeah, I just can't even understand. Y'all, like, his receivers, first of all, his top receiver go down in the third game. Okay, they get Diggs. Diggs go down. Okay, then the little guy, he go down. I mean, what y'all want him to do? I mean, would y'all want to pull a rabbit out the, if he had
out of his what? Receivers. Out of his what, Jacob? Where do you want him to pull that rabbit out of? Let me ask you a question real quick, Jacob, though. Did he have more help? I'll let you ask it to quit in a moment. Let me ask mine first, and then we'll go back to you. We won't hang up on you, I promise. Okay. Unless Brian does it, he might. Right. Do you think he had more wide receiver skill this year or last year?
They did not go down like that. Nico came back. But what it is, he got big. He finally got him another receiver to hit the slot. You know what I'm saying? He hit the slot and then was opening it up for Nico to go deep. And they was using a lot. But they end up getting hurt. And his tight end, trash.
Yeah, Schultz was trash. Okay. But it's the same O-line. Guy. It's the same guy, though.
Okay, but his O-line, penalties, not blocking him, putting him behind the chain. Man, I don't understand. He still got the talent. He's still the guy. Give his receivers healthy, get that O-line, he'll go back to where he was. He's a guy, and he's not going nowhere. It is what it is. Hey, Cheesehead, hey, I would call you hillbilly, man.
He wouldn't call you. He'd call you Cheesehead, but he won't call you hillbilly.
I mean, I've been called that by a lot of people, so
have you been called worse than a Cheesehead?
Yeah.
Here's the thing with, like, okay, because we were going to talk about this later, but we can just go right into it. Fact or myth, the Texans' offense was derailed by the injuries of Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. Because I think it's a myth. I think that if you're talking about offensive derailment, I would point more to the offensive line. But Jacob's talking about, like, the skill around C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud in his rookie year had Nico Collins for 15 games. This year he had him for 12. Okay, three games less there. That's a fair point whenever you're talking about Nico. The little guy. Named Tank Dell. He played 11 games last year. He played 14 games this year. You didn't have Stephon Diggs. Yes, he got hurt, but he played 8 games. You didn't have 8 games of Stephon Diggs. You had 10 games of Noah Brown. You had 14 games of Robert Woods. You still had Mechie around. You still had Hutchinson around. Last year, you had Singletary. This year, you had Mixon. He says that the tight end's a bum, which I don't disagree with, but it was the same bum last year. I think he's had far more skill this year around him than he did last year.
No, I don't know how you can argue any other way. I mean, when you look at the fact that there were bigger things thought of for both Nico and Tank coming off of whatever they did the last year, and then you add a guy in Stephon Diggs in the last year of his deal playing for a contract, but also knowing what he brought to the table in terms of his resume, you could only believe that they were going to be better. And we talked about how good the receiver room was at the start of the year, and we were having discussions about top two, top three receivers on this team. Where do they rank in the NFL as opposed to the year prior when we were talking about the Texans possibly having the worst receiver room in the league? You have to say they were better, and Mixon is a huge step up from Singletary the year previous.
Yeah, I feel like he's had more skill around him, skill players. Now, the offensive line probably played better a year ago.
No question.
Which how is that offensive line better?
It is a mystery because it was smoke and mirrors, and you know, you go back early in the season a year ago when they gave up 11 sacks in the first two games, had the Steelers coming in, you're like, oh God, it's going to get significantly worse. And then they didn't give up a sack against Pittsburgh, and they played musical chairs but figured it out to where that they held their own and were a decent offensive line. you would have thought, getting everybody healthy and in their natural positions, that this would be a better offensive line this year, and it has been significantly worse.
Yeah, it's weird. Texter says, I'm not going to put all the blame on Nick for the O-line, but it does worry me that he hasn't had a single hit when it comes to drafting them. I would put all my focus on signing them instead of drafting them. I agree with that last sentence. I don't want Nick drafting any more offensive linemen. And Kenyon seems like a miss, but was Juice a hit?
I think Patterson is.
We're getting there. Oh. But do you think Juice was a hit as a second rounder?
No.
Eileen, no. I don't feel like we can come to the conclusion yet. Like, let's see if he can lock into one of these interior offensive line positions. It's only his second year. I think it's fair to jury is out with him, but I would lean no. Currently, as a second rounder, that a lot of people thought he was a third rounder. I would agree with you on Patterson. Patterson was a hit as a sixth rounder. Yeah. But saying that, you look at this offensive line, what's a position you want to replace? A lot of people say center.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at like the significance of when you drafted right and you got a Linderbaum, and that guy is a dominant center. You don't have a dominant center. You got a guy that was better than anybody else on your roster that was able to maybe read defenses a little quicker and get him out of, you know, into the plays quicker, that held his own, did okay. I mean, he was a stopgap. But I understand if you want to upgrade across the offensive line, with the exception of Tunsil, probably, and that's it.
Yeah, see, I think he's solid. I feel like you're in trouble if you're starting Jared Patterson.
Yeah, I think he's a great backup because he can play multiple positions. Yep. He's versatile. He can hold his own at both positions. But do you want him starting for an above-average NFL football team is the question.
And it's in the domino effect to that is that you have to start him at center over a guy that you drafted in the second round that you wanted to be your center.
Yeah,
like
that's the
collateral damage of that.
And obviously the Kenyon Green disaster.
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
Set everything, you know, in a tailspin.
713-780-ESPN. Let's compare Stroud to these young quarterbacks and not just Bryce Young. Honest conversation about Stroud in his second year. And then let's get into that factor myth. The Texans offense derailed by the Diggs tank injury. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.